Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes, and it'll help us make Twit even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey.
Okay. Learn how to waste your time more wisely.
Plus all creatures great and small and how to measure them.
And the best educational apps for kids.
It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device at gazelle.com today. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you could see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/iOS today. And by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescription. Welcome to iOS Today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for welcoming me.
That's Megan Maroney.
That's Leo Laporte.
I am here. She is here for one thing and one thing only, to show you all of the wonderful things you can do with Apple's iOS. That would be the Apple Watch, the Apple phone, the iPad, and even the Apple TV. We got it all. In fact, you've got an Apple TV app you're going to show us.
I do, yes.
It reminds me, I should look at the App Store more often. Now, they're always adding new stuff? Is it growing?
They're always adding more stuff, new stuff, more ways. I mean, you know, you think there's only House of Cards on there, but there's so much other stuff. When you're done binge watching, don't be sad.
Pretty much all I need is House of Cards. Well, came out on Friday, got the notification, the Netflix notification on my phone. Lisa and I were up in the country in Mendocino. We didn't have access to Netflix, so she pulled out her laptop and we watched the first episode on a pillow between us on the couch going, and it was, oh, yes, that's fun. I love it when they release a show all at once and you can just binge-watch
it. Yes, although I read a study on Friday that binge-watching makes you sad. The courts did a little study.
Yeah, because you wake up 9 hours later and you haven't moved.
Well, you don't wake up. But when it's done, it's all done and you're just sad.
Well, I was wondering, because I was kind of wondering if they made the right decision. One of the things Dana Brunetti, the producer of the show, told me when he told me the story of how they were originally going to bring House of Cards to a television network. At the very last minute, Netflix offered him a lot of money. But one of the things he said was, the deciding factor for me and Kevin Spacey, my partner, was that they would release the entire season all at once. Mm-hmm. And I thought, is that really a good strategy? Don't you get more social media, more engagement if you dribble it out? And, you know, the Washington Post and the Atlantic Monthly can write detailed analyses of what happened in the episode this week. You lose all of that if you release it all at once.
That's a good point. I don't know.
And yet we as consumers, and I'm sure this is what Dana was thinking, we love it, right? Mm-hmm. I was watching Fargo, and we watched it. We joined it in the middle. So the first season was done, so we were able to binge watch that. And that's the worst. That's when I get sad, because you binge watch the first season. Now you've got the second season. You have to wait a week for every episode. I think, how did we ever do this?
I don't know. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're not going to talk about House of Cards. We're going to talk about time waster apps, but good ones. So I find myself sometimes when I have nothing to do and I have my phone or my iPad, and it's just like, I'll look at Facebook, I'll look at Instagram, I'll look at Twitter. And sometimes afterwards I just feel bad.
Sometimes I feel like that's what the smartphone was developed for, is something to do while you're in line at the grocery store. It's those little chunks. And, yeah, the default is always the social media, but maybe isn't the best thing to do. There are other things you can do in little chunks, and we've come up with some good ones
yes.
for you.
So the first app is called Drei. It's D-R-E-I-I. So I think I would pronounce it Drei. I don't know. How would you?
D-R-E-I-I.
Drei.
Well, the German Drei, D-R-E-I, is two.
Drei.
Or three, rather.
Drei.
But there's an extra I in there.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
I'm playing this game. It's one of those that has no instructions at all. You just have to
figure
it out.
Okay, the star drops out of the sky.
So,
there's a dreidel.
dreidel. I've been playing this for a while. So the goal...
You had to figure this all out,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I had to figure it out. So shut your ears if you don't want to know the goal. The goal is to cover up that little dot. And then you go to the next
I love this,
thing.
Though, because... You get the satisfaction of, oh, I figured it out.
Right.
Now I know what I have to do.
Yes.
So the first one's easy, though. They get harder.
Yeah, they get harder. You got to build on the blocks. Later on we're going to talk about educational apps for kids, but this would not be a bad app for a kid, too. I mean, they might get frustrated, but that's not bad for a kid. So now I'm
It's educational in the sense that it's physics. You have to learn mechanics.
Sort of, yeah. This app is $2.99, I think.
I do feel like it's for younger kids.
Well,
or adults with some
time on their hands.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, if you spent 15 minutes playing this versus like 15 minutes scrolling through Facebook and feeling jealous
satisfying.
Or angry or
yeah.
You know, getting in political arguments with people, this I think is better. Oh no, now what do I do? I think I got to stand it up.
You got me hooked. Oh, you're right. Oh, you figured it out. Nice.
Uh-oh. What are those arrows for?
Steve Gibson's always coming up with kind of games like this that are a little bit of kind of puzzle games. You knocked it over.
Yeah, would you call this a puzzle game? It's like
It's a puzzle game.
Like Monument Valley a little bit.
Yeah.
No instructions.
Pretty sound, very simple.
And beautiful on the iPad Pro, if I might say so myself.
See, when you said we're going to come up with diversionary apps that aren't Facebook... Or Twitter.
Did you misunderstand me?
No. I came up with something that could replace Facebook or Twitter. Because a lot of times you see those funny images or animated GIFs on those sites. And they're actually really from this site. Imgur. I-M-G-U-R.
Mm.
And why do it on Facebook when you could go right to the source? Now, some of these images are probably inappropriate. I'm here on the staff picks. So this is like... Facebook without all the bother of having friends.
Ah.
And by the way, if you want to be a Facebook superstar, go through these and pick one that is funny. I pick a random Imgurian every day to message telling them that I hope they are having a great day and not to let anything bring them down. And then you post that on your Facebook feed and people, you know, will love you. Look, I mean, who wouldn't love this? A picture of lava flowing into the ocean.
That is pretty awesome.
Isn't that cool?
So it's
just random crap because people, Imgur is a storage site where people put images so they can share them. So what you're doing is you're really going to directly to the source. I love these images where the guy's going backwards and shooting himself, going backwards, but then he reverses the film so it looks like he's the only one going forwards. And everyone else is going backwards.
Cool. He's filming himself, not actually shooting himself.
I used a technical term. I'm sorry. Thanks for explaining it. Old Nintendo commercials.
Oh.
Yeah. Who doesn't remember that kid? Why did everybody have mullets in those days, or was it just...
You didn't have one?
Nope.
You never had a mullet?
No! Oh, God, that fish just... Oh, wait a minute. It's a puffer fish. I can't get it in the hole. It's too big. Bye-bye. See you later. That's pretty funny. So here's the whole idea. Don't read the comments. Just pick something and then share it on your Facebook feed, and you'll be a Facebook hero. And this is something you can do just, you know, a picture at a time without any of the muss and fuss of actually Facebooking.
Right.
You don't Imgur, it's free. And it's not just staff picks. I mean, there's user submitted, there's random, there's the most viral. There's a the more you know section where you can, you know, learn how to tie an awesome knot.
Ooh.
This is just like a complete time waster. Just a complete time waster.
I like that. But you're not getting into political arguments with your aunt or
exactly.
you're not looking at someone's
exactly.
vacation pictures that you didn't get invited
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
That's good.
I M G U R. You had a hard time finding it because right. I said, oh, I'm going to show Imgur. And you actually tried to spell it correctly.
Right.
I M G U R.
Our next one was recommended by Mona, who is a viewer of this show, iOS Today, which is not a waste of time, in my opinion.
No.
This one is called I Love You to Bits. It is also $3.99, and it's a little story about a robot and a little boy. And again, not many instructions, but a little story.
I like the music.
Mm-hmm. And you point, you tap, and then when you get the hand, you get to do something. I don't know what. Grab that key. Put it in the lock, I'm guessing. Oh. Turn the lock. So it's, you know, a tap and point adventure game. There's my robot girlfriend. There's me. Uh-oh. Wormhole ready. So
do you know what the point is?
The point is to go on an adventure, to grab things.
Do things. Ooh,
save
you did.
Yourself.
You figured out how to time travel.
To make my robot go into space. Yeah, again, there's no instructions. You just kind of have to figure
tap
it out
stuff.
As you go. Whoa, I did something.
Yeah.
I Love You to Bits, $2.99. It's a long game. I did... one of my kids played for a long time, and so I just picked up where he left off. This is the beginning.
I found an interesting diversion.
Are we done with Love You to Bits? Because we can't play it, because then it's like I just give it away. Love You to Bits, $2.99.
I mean, I don't want to cut you short. I just
but you, it's kind of boring to watch someone play one of these games.
It's soothing. Is another way to think
okay,
of it.
Okay, you go now.
My game was written by Danish schoolboys.
Ooh.
I want to give them a plug. Now, your game has depth. You can play it for an hour. This is about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And the game's over. It's another adventure game. But the music's beautiful. The animation is beautiful. It was made by a team of third-year character animation and CG art students at the Animation Workshop in Viborg, Denmark. And it's $3.99. It's called Lost Tracks. The story is... Lou, a young man in his 20s, is on his daily commute in the train. His breath is taken away by the sight of a young woman who wants to talk to her.
I have my breath taken away.
Yeah, just like that. But doubt holds him back. He's torn in two and gets lost in his inner world. It's beautiful. It's very poetic. It's called Lost Tracks. Wait a minute. I should have turned on the microphone. I just told it not to. And it says, listen in headphones. Now it's sideways. But if I start a new game, it'll come back to the normal. Now it's vertical.
That's pretty.
It's kind of cool. So this is like a short movie that you can do in little bits. It is an adventure. I mean, it's not super compelling. And the game is over very quick. I mean, it doesn't take you long. There's only three acts in it. But I love it because it was created by students.
Yeah.
Animation students. And there's really an interesting story. This is like a small movie. So I thought this was really kind of neat. We'll be, this is the beginning. We'll be able to do some things in a little bit. It's called Lost Tracks. He does look like Harry Potter. Actually, that's how I found this. I saw the icon. I said, is that a Harry Potter game? No, he's just a student. Now he's going to go off.
Whoa, that's his ghost.
As people often do, he's going to go off into his head because he likes that young lady, but she doesn't seem interested. And now... Now, this kind of bugs me a little bit because I guess I have to continually change the orientation, right?
Interesting.
And it does use the microphone. It's another one where you kind of have to figure out.
So you tap to walk.
I guess.
Across.
Tap and hold.
The Great Divide.
Whoops.
Or a golf course.
Whoops. Don't walk that way.
Not into the water. Oh, no.
Tilt. I made him walk into the water. Oh, man, I hate it when that... Oh, okay.
Maybe that's what he needed.
No, I'm tilting it the wrong way. So this is going to be very hard to get him out of the water and show you at the same time. Look, just take my word for it. It's an adventure game. You do, put on the headphones, they say, because mm-hmm. left and right become important, so you want to hear stereo sound. And you can actually... It uses the microphone. You actually... Well, you'll see. Just play it. Lost Tracks. $3.99. It's not free.
Okay.
But it all goes to a very good cause, Danish schoolboys.
All right, my next one is called The Swords, and it's kind of a combination between Fruit Ninja and it's like calligraphy and sword fighting. You get to see this little story.
Little grasshopper.
Did you like Fruit Ninja? Did you ever play
Fruit Loved Ninja? Fruit Ninja.
This is a really kind of a little bit more, a calmer Fruit Ninja.
Okay.
Fruit Ninja
Calm
plus
would be good.
Meditation.
Yeah, Fruit Ninja gets very crazy.
Learning the Art of the Sword. Are you ready to learn the Art of the Sword?
Yeah, let's learn the Art of the Sword.
There's the sword. The master fetches the first sword from the right side. At first sight, it doesn't look any different from the swords we use every day.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. Things have roots and tips, while affairs have beginnings and ends. The Grandmaster had his humble origin as well. For 10 years, he had practiced on the unique sword martial styles, horizontally and vertical, one step at a time.
Waita.
Ready? Okay, so...
Oh, you're going to learn how to... you're going to learn how to write. You're going to learn your calligraphy.
Mm-hmm. And my sword fighting, so...
Yeah, no, it's because it looks like a bounce. No, you're not curving it enough.
Oh, aren't I?
You're actually... You know what you're learning?
Calligraphy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so calligraphy...
That is really...
And
cool.
Sword fighting.
Well, there really isn't a sword here. You're actually, it's really learning calligraphy.
But doesn't it sound like a sword?
This is so neat.
Sword fighting is based on calligraphy.
So I don't know if you know, but I was a Chinese major in college. And one of the things that you learn in calligraphy is that the order of the strokes and how you do the strokes is really very important to the meaning of the character.
So am I doing it right?
No, you're terrible. But
okay.
That's actually, this is really great. This is a calligraphy. This teaches you how to write. And you do it with a brush, by the way. And the brush, the way you turn the brush, the way you hold it, when you press, when you release, all adds to the meaning and style. And wow.
So I have to be more careful.
You see those dots? That's where they push the brush in. So this is calligraphy. That's really interesting. And these are actual Chinese characters.
What does it say?
Snake.
So, it gives me a little leeway. It's not as harsh as you are in my technique, but
it is giving you some leeway.
It's good. You've always been a harsh
very,
master.
I know. I'm a because you know I know you're capable of better. This is really interesting. It's a very hard thing to learn. I studied calligraphy for several years in college, and Chinese calligraphy is very difficult. I was never very good at it.
No.
But it is considered really a very important, more than an art, very important part of literacy. Stop when you see those dots. Stop.
Okay.
That's it.
Oh.
Because that's where you're giving the pen a little extra time to.
Okay, so I think I just have to touch it at the turn. Whew. There's more.
It
than
is a
just
game.
This.
I mean, it's fun. That's really neat. I think though Chinese students could use that to learn.
They could.
Calligraphy, or similar to Japanese calligraphy as well.
Roaring.
It's really a fine art. Mm. It's very hard to do, by the way, especially with a brush.
There's many more layers of this game.
Made for the iPad Pro.
It was, wasn't it?
Can you use your pencil with it?
I haven't tried, but probably. Maybe I need to buy a $100 iPad calligraphy pencil.
Don't you have one?
No. Well, I guess you can do calligraphy with it.
Yeah. This is good. This is actually fairly realistic. This is how hard it is.
Oh. It's tense.
Yeah. Sometimes students are tempted to do the strokes out of order, and it will make the character illegible or at the very least offensive. You know, it'll be like, wow, that is ugly. What are you doing? Handwriting is a very big part of the culture. Well, that's nice. Or calligraphy. I really should say calligraphy. That is great. Now, was that tutorial?
That was just the first stage. Then there's more sword fighting. Then it gets more Fruit Ninja-like in the next one.
Okay.
Carrying out the craft of sword.
Wow.
The master slowly...
This is really interesting because it is really...
Yeah.
More than just a game.
It is. Yeah, better than Facebook, right?
A lot. And you'd come away with it with a kind of a skill, especially if you wanted to learn Chinese calligraphy.
Yes.
I have a game that's much more serious.
Okay, I'm going to continue fighting swords while
you... You know that I was briefly addicted to Clash of Clans. We had the Twit Clan. We played the game frequently. Many of you are addicted. my son played it a lot. Well, they're back. And you've probably seen the ads because they've advertised it like crazy everywhere. And I thought, well, I ought to play it. This is another one we're going to have to turn on our side. This is from the Clash of Clans folks. It's called Clash Royale. Ooh. From Supercell. And we're going to start off with a tutorial. But if you've played Clash of Clans, it's going to be somewhat familiar to you. It's a different layout. It looks like a card game. Oh, it's going to sign into my game center. I don't really want it to do that. But nope, let's not do that today. So the idea is we're going to do some training matches. You have to do 8 training matches. Take on Trainer Earl before they let you play real people. But eventually you'll be playing real people in head-to-head contests. You get these cards. These are players you can play. Let's drag my knight to the bridge. And he's going to start attacking. You have a limited number of points you can use. Let's get some archers to back him up. And if you've played Clash of Clans, you'll recognize, you know, these characters and the similar kind of attack styles. Wouldn't mind putting a giant right there. And you know, let's do a hail of arrows on the king. So we are essentially attacking. The idea being to attack and win against the other guy. Now, this is just training, and you see he's starting to launch his own little armies against me. I think I'm going to have this one done in a matter of moments. Let's shoot one more volley. Oh, here come his goblins attempting to attack me, but at this point it's very easy because we're just in the training rounds. But if you've played Clash of Clans, you go, oh yeah, I kind of recognize what's going on. I think this is kind of fun. It will be similar to Clash of Clans. You see, I'll be able to join a clan. I don't want notifications. And so we're going to go through 7 of these training camps before we can unlock multiplayer battles. That's actually a good idea. You don't want to embarrass yourself. But you get the idea, and you know, I don't want to go through the whole training camp on here. But a lot of fun. A little bit, kind of a little bit like, one of those... what do they call them? The dungeon games where you have to... let's select a card here. Let's do a volley here. Let's bomb this. Well, I'm going to wait for the bomber until I get a little bit closer. We should be able to do that pretty soon. Bring in a giant, why don't we? Anyway, enough of this. I don't need to bore you. But if you've been and by the way, this is free because, of course, it's all in-app purchases. And in many cases, the in-app purchases are just... It's just a question of... I think the graphics are kind of fun. A question of speeding things up. You can do a lot of this without actually buying anything. From Clash of Clans from Supercell. It is the brand new and a lot of fun. You can see it probably be better suited to a phone because of the vertical orientation. The iPad Pro is crazy big for this.
Yeah.
Although it looks great.
And do you like it better than Clash of Clans?
Yeah, you know, it's more immediate. The problem with Clash of Clans is it's a little bit slower. This is a little bit more that's why it's great for a quick hit. You can just do a couple of little battles in the Clash Royale and then go back to your grocery shopping.
All right, well...
Wow, we just gave you a lot of ways to waste time on your iPad or iPhone.
Yeah, but good ways. I think you'll feel better after you... enjoy a little bit of this. And then if your iPad or iPhone isn't good enough for any of these games, maybe you want to trade it in.
I think almost everything we showed you would work fine on any recent iPhone. But, you know, there is a new iPhone coming. Mm-hmm. Some people are looking for smaller iPhones. And we're pretty sure that in almost exactly 2 weeks, in fact, from today, Apple is going to announce the new iPhone SE. Now, whether that's true or not doesn't matter, because now's the time to at least get a quote on your old iPhone. If you're thinking, maybe I want this phone, or maybe you've seen an iPad out there, there's a new iPad, I think, coming. The time is now to get a quote on your old device, because I can tell you one thing, no matter what, it's not going to gain in value in the next few days. And in fact, it may very well drop in value considerably when the new device comes out. Now you can get a 30-day quote. They're locked in. You're not for 30 days. That means at gazelle.com. That means you go, you get a quote on your iPhone, and then decide in 2 weeks, do I want the new iPhone or not? But you've already got the quote in hand. You know how much money you're going to get. They pay top dollar for used devices, a broad variety of phones, tablets. They even buy broken iPhones and broken iPads. They'll buy Samsung tablets. They'll buy Microsoft tablets. They'll even buy some Macs and displays. Go there. Instead of just putting this stuff in the closet to gather dust or throwing them in a drawer, go to Gazelle and get cash for your used gadgets. Now, by the way, because Gazelle gets a lot of new gadgets, especially around this time when there's a new phone coming, this is a great time to also buy a certified pre-owned device at Gazelle. They will sell a variety of iPhones, including the 6S, the 6S Plus, iPads, Samsung Galaxy phones as well. These are all, in every case, fully inspected. They put them through a rigorous 30-point inspection to make sure that the device works perfectly. Look, they're selling MacBooks now, too. That's awesome. And you know, no major scratches even. Completely functional. And, of course, you have a 30-day return policy. The nice thing is when you buy a phone from Gazelle, even though it'll work with all the major carriers, there is no carrier contract. I love that. Yeah, these are really the place to go. They also provide financing. So if your budget's a little tight, you want a nice new device, but you can't really afford to pay it outright, they have financing on all devices from Affirm. You give them some basic information. You could actually do it in the purchase process. You'll get approved instantly. You could pay it off in 3, 6, or 12 months. Easy monthly payments, bank transfer, check, debit card. All you have to do is when you're checking out, you select financing with Affirm. They also offer now Assurant Solutions 12-month warranties. They cover even water damage, cracked screens, and, of course, hardware defects. That's for the cell phones and the iPads. Assurant Solutions Insurance now. Help is available 24/7 if you need to process a claim and return your device. Gazelle is great. I think they've really got it down. To buy or to sell, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. And now's the time. Gazelle.com.
All right, is it time for our weekly update?
News. There's
Apple,
a lot of news.
The FBI.
We should probably talk about that.
Well, there was Apple Senior Vice President Craig Federighi posted an op-ed piece on the Washington Post today, and taking kind of a different take, sort of informing people that our iPhones don't have just our personal stuff on it.
Right.
People have their work stuff on it. And once you get into someone's work stuff, you can threaten national security. Sort of, I hadn't really heard that argument.
This is really the smartest argument for Apple to take, which is, of course, we want to fight terrorism. But we don't want to do it in a way that makes us less safe in general. That makes, we talked last week about, your children's location is on you, on their iPhone. So it's a public safety issue. And I think he's smart to talk about corporate security, corporate espionage. In every way, weakening encryption and weakening security reduces our safety and doesn't improve it. And that's really an important point. I think if they just hammer on that, I think the American people will understand clearly what's at stake here. It's not just about this one phone. It's about keeping us safe in general. So you don't want to trade in this one prosecution and trade in all of your security and safety for it. I think that's a very good tack for Craig to take.
Yeah.
Apple's not letting up on the PR war. Notice, this is not for court. Mm-hmm. This is the PR war. But they really, ultimately, I think it's going to be important because what's going to happen is this is wend its way through the courts, probably go to the Supreme Court. But really, this isn't something that should be resolved by the courts. This is something that should be resolved by Congress. This is about, and the people. This is about lawmaking. So I think Apple's smart to say, let's make this a public conversation because ultimately, this is something Congress has to decide. Should your phone be secure or not? And I think they make a strong argument why it should be.
Exactly. So there was some more news, Apple news. Did you hear about some companies are giving employees Apple Watches for $25?
On Tech News Today. This is hysterical. But, well, there's a catch.
Yes. So it's a regular sport Apple Watch is $370.
Yeah.
And they'll sell it to you for $25.
But
you have to meet your fitness goals every month.
Here's your new watch.
Yeah,
now,
I've
you better work
met.
Out.
Let's see what your goal. Well, I can't see. I've already reached my goal for the day.
Shut up. Give me my watch.
Well, I'll wear yours around and go for another run.
Would you, please?
And then
that's the next thing. Hiring somebody to get your Apple Watch
right, exactly.
Charged up.
So I thought this was interesting because it's a good incentive. It's the way gym memberships work. You pay every month and, so you think, I'm paying, so I probably will go or not go to the
gym.
If
you don't meet your goals, the company will make you pay the full freight for the watch.
So it's monthly.
That's
yeah.
So mean.
So I think it's like $13 a month or something over a 2-year period.
How do you know what your goal is? Is it in the workout app?
I don't. Well, my
activities. It's in the activity
app. So my goal is 400 calories a day. or whatever they, however they measure calories. I don't think it's an actual measurement.
Well, but they assume based on your age, your height, mm-hmm. your weight, you how many calories you're using.
You know, you can. What is your goal for the
day? I was just trying to figure out what my goal is for the day. Apparently, I don't have any goals.
Mm, it's the second. It's the little circle, and it's the red circle in the activity app.
It's the little red circle in the activity app. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not even close to achieving any goals.
You're not. Did you wear your watch when you exercised this
morning? I didn't exercise this morning. 500 calories is my goal.
Oh.
Or 30 minutes of exercise. Or, of course, standing up, which I'm pretty good at. I'm good on the standing up. I've got 5 out of 12 now.
Well, you know what? I now stand. I have myself a standing desk. And
Does Apple still tell you to stand up?
It still reminds me to stand up.
This is not the best solution, but for standing up anyway. But yeah, 5, I think I probably, they will set your goals based on what you do,
yeah,
right?
It goes down or up
right.
at the end of the week. But what do you think about?
I missed spin class this morning, so I didn't get the get all the points I deserve. I'll have to work out tonight after work.
And, you know, you can have a break some days, too.
No, it's good, though. I think that's the thing I really like about this and why it's really helpful and helpful. It just encourages you to stay active. And to do something. And the goals are reasonable. You don't have to have crazy goals like mine. I mean, come on. But you have half an hour a day. Wow. But it will adjust based on what, you know, your age and what you do.
Well, the time is 30 minutes for everybody, I think. That
is it 30
for everybody?
It's the calories it varies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but, you know, I thought this was also what wasn't mentioned in the article is you give an employee an Apple Watch and then you also can get their attention more quickly because you can never say, well, I texted you, I emailed you, and you didn't have, you know, your watch on. Because, like, I get text messages in the shower. I get them wherever I am, you know, because I'm always wearing my watch.
Doesn't it seem kind of, I don't know, mean for a company to say, well, we'll give you the watch, but if you don't meet your fitness goals, you'll be paying.
Well,
I don't know
I think
if
you,
I'd
you agree
work.
Or
that
you
seems
don't
very
agree.
Paternalistic.
I think it's a sign that you agree to it or you don't agree
right.
to it. You don't
I mean,
have to.
Of course, it's in everybody's interest that you stay in good health.
Yes, it is in everybody's
But I don't
interest.
Know if it's any of their business.
Right. And, you know, your heart rate's
How would you feel if I did that? If
I know, because you did give me this Apple Watch.
But did I give you any restrictions? I just said, take it. Enjoy it. Get as fat as you want. I said, I don't
exactly
care.
Exactly what you said.
I don't care. No, I just think it's almost a little paternalistic for a company to say, I'm going to give you a watch, but you better be working out or I'm going to make you pay.
Yeah, it is. It is.
None of your business.
Mm-hmm. All right. So have you seen the roof on Apple's new office?
I saw the drone video, but I don't know if I saw the
roof.
It weighs
80 tons.
What? It's a one-piece roof for the whole thing?
Isn't that crazy?
No, that's not the whole thing. That's just that. That's
the
just
roof
the
of the.
The theater. That's where we're going to go when we get invited to Apple events.
Right. That's our incentive to say nice things.
Yeah. Wow. So that theater is really interesting. That's see, Apple doesn't want to have to take, rent space at venues anymore for its events. They're going to have all the events there starting next year.
2017.
All one roof. Wow.
It was fully assembled in Dubai before being shipped to Cupertino.
That seems like a long way to go.
Yeah.
They put it in the belly of a 747?
I don't know.
No, I think that had to go on a big boat, round boat.
Yeah.
Probably like a bathtub. What the hell kind of boat would hold that?
I don't know.
Why they make it in Dubai? Why not? Aren't there good American steel workers that could have made that roof? Dubai? It's 70 feet long, 11 feet wide. Oh, I see. So you could disassemble it so they were able to ship it. 44 identical radial panels. Wow.
I want to go there.
Wow.
All right, moving on to Google.
It's probably made of desert sand. There's lots of that in Dubai.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what do you think about this hands-free payment thing that Google's doing?
I downloaded it, then I realized I'm never going to a McDonald's in Silicon Valley,
right.
So I'll never get to use it. It's only good for Papa John's Pizza and McDonald's.
I know, and it's only in the South Bay.
And only in Silicon Valley.
When we go to, next time we go to ogle that spaceship in person, we can go eat at McDonald's.
No. There's a really good, you got to go to a Falafel Hut instead. That's good. If Falafel Hut takes it, I'll download it.
Okay,
so the idea is you don't tap to pay.
No.
You just say out loud, I'll pay with Google.
And you don't have to say it in that voice or anything.
You don't?
No. You can say it.
She says, I'll pay with Google.
I'll pay with Google.
And then what happens?
Then they look at your picture and they also ask you your initials. So.
This does not sound secure.
When you sign, doesn't it?
They look, okay, so. They have a cam. The cashier has a camera.
Right. and you
and
have
camera,
a picture.
And you stand in front of the camera.
And it matches your picture.
And then the cashier looks at it or the computer looks at it?
Oh, that's a good question. I bet the computer looks at it.
And then you say your initials, like no one knows your initials?
Yeah. But you don't have to take your phone out of your pocket or anything.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I did download it. I thought, well, I have to try it. But I don't think I'll be at a McDonald's in the South Bay anytime soon.
Be careful, because it'll ask you to track your location, and it's not going to probably be in your area for a long time. So
Chickenhead in our chat room says, actually, they didn't say I'll pay with Google. The baby just said, I'll pay by Google. And boom. Said, what's your initials, kid?
Conceptually, I love this idea. I hate taking
my phone. It's somehow not secure.
More secure than picking your credit card out and handing it over to someone.
It's kind of like the old days where you'd go, here, let me give you some money.
Right.
Wow, what a concept. You mean I don't have to get my phone out and tap something, just give you money? Wow.
But no one's going to steal your personal information, or no one's going to take that dollar and break into your bank account.
What if my twin brother, who, by the way, knows my initials, goes in there and says, I'll pay with Leo's Google?
Well, I happen to have twins I can test that with as soon as, you know, probably gets to.
How can Milo go in and say, you know, that's me. That's me.
Okay.
Really? How does that handle twins?
Good question. Do you want to talk about another app you're not going to use?
Yeah.
Okay. People. Do you remember People?
Never did like People.
People.
I remember People.
You
I used to work with them. What People? Okay. The program's called People?
People. P-E-E-P-L-E. And
People wobble and they don't fall down, People?
No. This was about 6 months ago, and I noticed
I don't
I
remember this.
Yet.
I don't think I ever used
People,
it.
People, it was the Yelp for humans.
Oh.
And it was an app that would let you rate people as you would rate a restaurant.
This was very controversial.
Mm-hmm. And anyone could rate you, and you couldn't opt out.
Whatever happened to that?
Well, they got publicly shamed, and
we thought it was I was convinced it was a joke.
Joke. I thought it was.
That there really wasn't going to be an app, but there is now an app.
There is now an app, and it has launched.
Well,
and
I
they
want
say
that. Can
that
I rate
has
the people around me? Can I rate you?
Okay, so I have not signed in. You have to sign up with Facebook. There's no option. No other option. If you have an account, you can log in.
That's
but I don't
fair.
Have an account. So you rate people, and you can opt out, but then
you can opt out of being rated.
You can opt out of being rated, except then there's this other feature in it that will allow, it's called, you can pay extra. It's called the trust
Well, now
I'm seeing
a People photo sharing album. It's not that. Who's this from?
No, this is
P-E-E-P-L-E, right?
Character is Destiny.
That's the company?
The link? Okay, so Anthony signed up for it, but he couldn't do anything. He rated me.
I rated you, but I think you have to approve it, so.
What good is that?
It's pending.
I think Megan is a zero, and then you have to say, yeah, that's okay with me.
Okay, so I don't want to sign in, even to tell you, because I just think it's a bad idea.
No, cranky people will sign in, though. So the problem is my search is and this
yeah.
is
the search sucks. I couldn't find
this
it.
This is Apple's search that doesn't work. So what's the company that makes it? Maybe sometimes you could search.
The company that makes it. That's a great question.
Go to the About menu. Is there an well, Oh, you haven't signed in yet.
No.
You can't do
okay,
anything.
Okay, I'll go ahead and sign in just for you people.
I want to do
signing
it.
Signing up. I am agreeing to these 7 pages of terms and conditions.
We will not be responsible if you get depressed.
A lot of terms and a lot of conditions.
People.
I accept
that.
Well,
here's the good news. You can't find it. It's probably so new.
Here, let
me message it. So this is funny. So they actually, this wasn't a hoax. They announced they wanted to do this. And then they did it. And people were shocked and upset. And they did it.
They did it.
Is it from Peep?
No, I don't know.
Yes, it's from Peep Incorporated.
Peep Incorporated.
It's got a little bird on it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Little parrot?
Yes.
So you have to look. There's a couple of different peoples, but this is P-E-E-P-L-E from Peep Incorporated. It's a reputation application. Allows you to recommend and be recommended. You can say, I know them personally, professionally, or we date. Well, that's a good way to really kill a relationship. Yeah. Yeah, let me tell you. Sign up with Facebook.
Okay, I'm doing that for you, people. I'm doing this for you.
Right.
I describe myself in three
Holy
words.
Holy cow, look at this legal document.
I
you
know.
You weren't kidding.
No. I've signed my life away.
This is worse than the lease I just signed. Holy cow, do I have to initial every page?
No, you just have to.
What? Oh, I think you ought to read this.
I didn't.
That's crazy.
I've just signed away my firstborn child.
Wow. I've never seen... And by the way, there's nothing I can do now. I have to... How do I agree to it?
Yeah, you click... You have to go back and then check the thing.
What thing?
Go...
To the back screen.
Done, or back.
And say, I agree?
And then, yeah, click the little white box.
Oh, I got to do that first.
Then sign up.
Oh, I'm going to continue as Leo.
I don't like this.
Now I have to give my phone number. This seems like a scam.
Yes. As Burke says, that means they've already been in some serious legal hot water if they have that many pages. Okay, one last step. In order for us to see which of your
verification
friends are using people, we need to access your contacts.
Oh, boy, this is exciting. Okay, there's my verification code.
I hate this. Look, there's Anthony.
Anthony, you've already... that's so mean, Anthony.
Now...
Describe yourself in three words. Beautiful. Smart.
Here, I'm going to like you, Anthony.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm going to recommend you. Professional.
I don't think that's
positive
so bad.
Positive experience.
What's my passion?
What was
your passion?
There.
Did you give a passion?
iOS is my passion, and my interest was tech news.
Okay.
Great.
Interest.
Technical.
I'm interested in hot women. Can I say that, or is that without...
And
interest.
Editor.
My interest is in staying under the radar. Oh, it has to be one word. No, you can do it.
Okay.
All right. I can't fit staying under the radar.
Now I don't know what... I recommended you.
Interest. Food. food's a good interest. It's lunchtime.
So, yes, helpless corgi. It is LinkedIn with a rating system.
Please enter
I guess
your
it's another resource
address.
For potential employers to check, yes.
Yeah, my daughter just decided to stop using Facebook because she was afraid of what future employers might think.
That's smart.
Yeah. She said I can go back to it later.
So this is trying to also combat anonymous reviews and anonymous harassment, I guess. You know, there's all kinds
yes,
of...
harass people in person.
But nobody would do it. That's the... I mean... Right.
None of my Facebook friends apparently are on this
What about Anthony?
He's not finding anybody.
Or me.
Wow.
We're Facebook friends.
Feels like it's not working. Start searching. Friends. Okay. Well, what do I do now?
You have to search.
You have to find somebody.
Anthony.
All right. I'm sorry, but I only know two people on here, and that's where I... Oh, you can search nearby, too. Is that true?
Well, it should
that's where
me,
we are.
I couldn't really be closer to you than right here.
You're sitting
next
right next to
me. There you are.
Huh. No friends at all, no recommendations, no followers, nothing. Well, it might be another Twitter, right?
It might be another... Twitter, like you mean a horrible place where you can get harassed or like a wonderful, exciting thing to join?
I think they're hedging their bets. So, for instance, there's a switch that says whether you're single or not. It says by having single turned off, because I'm not single, you're indicating that you are in a relationship. Dating recommendations are disabled.
I didn't get that option.
That's just in the options. I'm gonna find somebody. Let me see if I... Let me look for Megan. Oh, I forgot I have to.
So, I'm glad we
found two matches. Megan Maroney. Oh, don't show that. Or that other Megan. She doesn't like that. Okay, leave a recommendation. Okay, rate my experience. It was positive. Professional. I don't really know you personally. Very positive. Enter title of message. A fine human being. So this is going to be like public, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Megan is everything that is good and true about humankind. And then how do I submit that? They need to work a little bit on their
UI. Either.
I've now recommended you.
Thanks.
And now a message.
Now you can send me a message. All right.
I don't want to send you a message. All right.
Well,
congratulations. You have just left your first recommendation.
Thanks.
Continuing leaving positive recommendations to let people see how awesome you are. Oh, that's interesting. They're kind of encouraging you. Oh, thank you for rotating it, Anthony. That's good. Now I can see it. I don't have to turn my head sideways. Should I search for somebody else? Yeah, let's search for Anthony. Now, don't show this because it might have your personal information in here. It does. It's not you, though. Some other Anthony. So, there you have it.
All right.
Wow, so it's real. I don't necessarily dislike this.
I didn't like the way they presented it. Like, they presented it as that this is going to be great. You know, 6 months ago when they got attacked for presenting it this way. You know, you can rate anyone you want. Nobody can opt out. Anyone can see how other people rate you. It just seemed a little bit naive. And it doesn't seem like they've really learned that much, but and
it could be like a harassment vehicle.
It does say that they have cyberbullying prevention baked in. The first app to ever have cyberbullying prevention baked in, which I don't think is accurate. That's what every app wants
to
have.
It's like a ham and cheese croissant.
baked in the cheese. So, yeah, I think we've done a service.
I've recommended Megan. That's all
thanks.
I need to do. I'm done now.
All right, I'll recommend you.
No, you don't have to.
Then you can get that job in L.A. you've always wanted.
Hollywood.
Yeah,
I'm going
to Hollywood.
Did I tell people that?
He would make a great old
people
person actor
that?
In 15
I've decided.
Years.
When, because I'm not going to be competing against all those good-looking young guys. Mm-hmm. I'm in a different arena. And every TV show needs an older...
A Wilford Brimley.
Wilford Brimley type.
Brimley.
Yeah, I could be... I'm going to say, you know, people like trees and nuts and something like that. And I can get ads, I can get TV shows, I can get movies. I'm available is all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, as long as once my kids graduate from college, then that's fine. You can do whatever you want.
No, this is in addition to everything else.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's, are you ready to talk about the Ring video doorbell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is another thing I can do. I can pitch.
Mm-hmm. For products that are good.
Wilford Brimley for the Ring video doorbell. Now, actually, the truth is, this is a really great thing. This is something everybody should have. It's kind of like a caller ID for your home, sort of. The idea is that this is a doorbell that replaces your existing ding-donger. And by the way, almost everybody, I've done a survey, has kind of a bad doorbell. It's the last thing they put in the house. And it kind of works, and the chimes go, donk, right? It's not a great, it's like the, for some reason, it's the, so this is, it's time for a little upgrade. And this thing is an upgrade. Here's what you get with a Ring video doorbell. You just unscrew your old doorbell. Two wires will be sticking out. That's all it takes. You put those into the Ring video doorbell. And now, first of all, you get a nice chime. In fact, they even, if you don't have a wired doorbell, you can just put it on the next to the door, and they have a little device called the chime that you plug into a plug socket. You can have multiple ones, and those will ring around your house. The reason I got this is I never hear the donk from my doorbell. So now on my all my tablets, all my phones, and you have a few of them, when somebody rings our doorbell, it's like a clockmaker's shop at noon. The whole house rings. I don't miss a call anymore. But better than that, see this? I have a camera, wide-angle, high-def camera on the front, so I can see who rang the doorbell. Plus, there's a speaker and a microphone, so I can talk to them, and they can hear me, and I can hear them. So now I can answer the door, and here's the best part. It's connected to your Wi-Fi, so I can answer the door even when I'm at work, when I'm halfway around the world. So this is really kind of for security. Somebody comes to the door and rings the bell. I can say, who are you? What do you want? There's motion detection built in, too, so you even see people walking by. If you get a package, the UPS guy rings the doorbell. You say, yeah, just leave it right there. I'm in the bath. I'll be right out. Okay. He goes, just sign my name. It's okay. Okay. And then he leaves it on this front step. You're not there. You're at work, but he doesn't know that. And then you can monitor your front porch. So if somebody comes to take your package, you can see them. Somebody comes to hey, I want to wash your windows. Yeah, I don't think so. Goodbye. It really is awesome. Here's the deal. You can get it for $200 at ring.com, R-I-N-G. But we've got a deal. If you go to ring.com/iOS today, we'll get free shipping for you, expedited FedEx shipping for you. And they'll know then that you saw it on iOS today. We love this. Everybody around here, have you installed it yet?
I have, yeah.
Everybody who works here has installed it. and just love it. The only problem with that is that when your doorbell rings on your phone, I think my doorbell rang. But that, you know what? It's not bad. It's a really great way. I've used it for a lot of things. We had a cleaning service come, mm-hmm. and they charged us for 4 hours, but they would leave after two. And they said, well, no, we stayed the 4 hours. I said, I have video of you coming at noon and leaving at 1:30. I've got video. Needless to say, they don't work for us anymore. It's great. I love it. When your teenagers come home in the middle of the night, this is going to be your problem soon.
Well, it's nice to know when your kids come and go when they're
even when you're not home. If you know they're latchkey kids and they come home and you know they're home, mm-hmm. you could say, there's a snack in the refrigerator, Hilo and Hawk. And then they would go there. It's just great. I love it. Ring.com/iOS today.
Now it's time for questions and feedback. I get tweets. I get emails. I get so many great questions.
And thank you. We like it.
Yes, thank you. So this came with a direct message from A. Wagner. He says, a while back, you...
Just A. Wagner.
A while back, you and Leo did a show on photo backup apps. Neither of you brought up BitTorrent Sync. This is a really good app to back up photos and videos, no matter the size. Works great, and there are no size limits to deal with, and it has unlimited space, and it's free.
I use BitTorrent Sync all the time. What I use it for is I have a server in my house, as you probably know, running Minecraft, actually several different mm-hmm. Minecraft instances, and people are building and stuff, and I feel guilty. I don't want it to lose the Minecraft. So I have BitTorrent Sync running on the server, and then I have it running on various computers. It synchronizes the folders in real time, so I never have to worry about losing it. It's a great product, and it's free. There are a couple of caveats with it. They've never released the source code or how it works. So Steve Gibson has looked at it and has not been able to say for sure, well, yeah, this is trust no one, it's completely fine or whatever. I don't really think that's a problem. Just understand that you shouldn't assume it's completely secure. Mm. So, but if you're backing up a Minecraft server, I don't care. It kind of scares people a little bit because of the way it works. So if you're going to create a backup, I'll just skip the tour here and we'll show you. And I'm going to say I want to back up my camera stuff, okay? Now, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a long number. Let's see how I can...
It wanted to send me an email.
Yeah, you email's good because you can't write this number down. You can get a QR code. There's a secret number. A magic number, a very long magic number associated with that folder. If you want another device to back it up, see, right now it's not backing up anywhere, but if I want to back it up to a device...
I think you tapped devices and then I was going to send an email to me.
I want to copy the link. Oh, I guess I'll have to paste it so you can see that number. What I usually do is I just send it as a message to myself, right, as a text message. So let me send a new text message. I'll paste this in. And that's the number. It's actually a link to getsync.com, blah, 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 blah. That's unique. That is a number. Now, people might say, well, wait a minute. That's it? There's no password. There's nothing. All I need is that number. That's right. All you need is that number. And that will then, you will then put BitTorrent Sync on some other device, give it that magic number, and you'll be synchronizing with that device. So you're not synchronizing the cloud at all. And the only reason there might be some security issues is we don't know what happens is in between, how it's handling all of that. But it works great. So all you have to do is get that magic number, and they make it easy to do with QR code or pasting or whatever. Get that magic number to another computer, and then you can synchronize. By the way, it doesn't have to be another computer. Let's say you have a folder of documents you want to automatically send to a friend. You just send them the code. They're running BitTorrent Sync, and they do the same thing. This is all free. It's handled very well. It's a really great solution. I like BitTorrent Sync, and I'm very happy with it.
But you wouldn't say it's 100% private or safe.
Well, here's an example. I just gave out that number. Like anybody who's watching it could copy it down on the screen. It'd be a lot of work, but could copy it down. And then say, yeah, I'll take Leo's photos. Uh-huh. And my photos are not going to that person. I've turned that off, so don't try. Actually, I don't really even care. There's not much on here. But so you need to treat that secret number as, you know, the password. There's no other password. That's the magic number. Some people are worried about collisions. Well, how do I know that that number is unique to this folder? It's such a big number. The chance of it being the same as anybody else's number is virtually nil. Not, it's not zero. So this might worry some people, but it's very, very, very low chance of it collision. But that number isn't necessary. There's nothing that it does to make it unique. So in theory, it's like you'd have a better chance of winning Powerball. But in theory, you could be getting somebody else's data. So I wouldn't use it for anything that you really wanted to keep private. But it's fine for things like backing up your photos, sure.
Or Minecraft.
And it's free. And it doesn't go to the cloud. It only goes between two devices or more. You can sync to 100 different devices if you want.
All right. Well, Frederick in San Jose writes, I have the stainless steel Apple Watch, and my wife has the less expensive Sport Edition. As you probably know, the charging pucks that come with the watches are slightly different. Mine has some chrome around the edges, while my wife's is all white and plastic, if it's the Sport Edition. Apart from the appearance, is there any functional difference between the two? Will charging my watch with her charger or vice versa damage the watch? Will it void the warranty? Will one puck charge a watch faster than the other, as is the case with the USB adapter that comes with the iPad versus the one that comes with the iPhone? I have both. So I bought myself another charger.
Just to see.
Yes.
To answer this question,
mm-hmm. And
you bought a second Apple Watch.
I bought the metal one, just the charger. And I charged them both. And I looked on Apple's website, and they say they don't, you know, they don't.
They look different, right?
They look, one is plastic. I think it was just, I think they're the exact same thing. It's just the cover is plastic to save money and charge only $375 for whatever it was for the.
So, in other words, if you need another sync puck, you know, charging puck, buy the cheap one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't buy the stainless steel.
I don't know why
one.
I bought the stainless.
It came with your watch.
The plastic one came with my Sport watch.
Oh, that's right.
But
you
then
have
I
a Sport
got
watch.
The,
right.
I don't know if they sell the plastic one in the store.
Oh, maybe that's the scam.
Yeah,
huh?
So as far as I could tell, there was no difference. And a charging test, they both charge the same speed. It's just plastic on the outside.
Right.
Versus. All right, and we have a voicemail. This is going to be one that I need your help with. It's about Google Authenticator and Gmail on the iPhone.
Hi, Megan and Leo. My head hurts trying to figure this out. I have two Gmail accounts, one that I use for personal and one that I use for business. My personal one, I have the second factor authentication on my phone via the Google Authenticator app, which is working great. But I can't figure out how to add that second factor code to my iPhone. And I was wondering if you guys could help me out with a little tutorial. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
And as we've mentioned before, you don't have to use Authenticator. A lot of times they'll say the Google Authenticator app. But that's what authentication is. I should explain how this works. So the idea is the whole process is of identifying that you know yourself, saying you are who you are. We call it authentication. And there's single factor authentication, which could be just a password. There are three different kinds of authentication. There's something you know in your head, like a password. There's something you have, like your smartphone, and then there's something you are, like your fingerprint or your eye. We like to, for maximum security, not rely on any one factor, but to use two or more. In fact, there are places, you know, highly secure network operation centers where you have to use all three. They'll ask you for a password. You'll have to take out your phone and enter the 6-digit authenticator code, and then you'll have to put a handprint on there. That's 3-factor authentication. 2-factor's pretty good. It's good enough. And in fact, my recommendation, if your bank does it, if your Gmail or your email provider offers it, Evernote does it, Twitter does it, Facebook does it, turn it on everywhere. Because even if a bad guy were to guess your password, they still wouldn't be able to get into your account because they'd need that second factor. Now, for most people, it's the two factors are something you know, a password, and then something you have, which is a dongle or some device that generates an authentication code. In this case, Google Authenticator on your smartphone works. Sending you a text message on your smartphone works as well. And a lot of sites like Twitter and Facebook do either or both. But Authenticator is a standard for creating a 6-digit code that is your second factor. And the way it works is with a secret number that is only known to you and Google in this case. That secret number represents your account. Each account has a unique secret number. And what they do is they merge the secret number with the time of day and generate a 6-digit hash out of that number. So Google knows your secret code. You know your secret code. You both know what time it is. You'll generate a six-digit number. The reason they use the time is because it expires. Every 30 seconds, they do it again. New time, new six-digit code. That's a really great. No, that one code won't work over and over and over again. And unless you know somebody's secret code, you won't know what their second factor is. So it's like, it is in a way like two passwords, but it's a password known only to you and the Google, and it's pretty easy to keep it a secret. In fact, it's such a long number, you probably don't even know what it is, which is why Authenticator and others use a QR code. You take a picture with your camera. That's what's in that picture. That QR code is really your secret number and what account it is. So that's the answer to his question, by the way. It's unique to each account. So you'll have a different second factor authentication for each Gmail account. And if you look at your Authenticator, or I use Authy. I don't know. Do you use Authy or Authenticator?
Google Authenticator is what I've used in the past, but it's confusing.
Well, why don't you show them? I can walk you through it.
Well, so
you're going to add a new account. So open your Authenticator.
Okay. So you're not talking about turning on second factor just on your email.
First, you turn on second factor.
That's what I did. I turned that on.
Right.
Okay.
And then when you turn it on,
now I have to download
Google.
The app?
Yes, you need the Google Authenticator app.
Because then they still sends me the extra, like, G-dash number. But that's different?
I'm not sure what it's sending you. How is it sending it to you? By email or by?
Text message.
Text message. Well, that's the same thing, right? So you can have it via text message. You can have it using an app. That way you don't need to be online to use it. The app just constantly updates.
So this is.
So do you have the Authenticator app?
No. I have to have a separate app.
You don't have to, but that's what it is. It's a separate app. That Authy is another one that we recommend. The reason I like Authy is because it synchronizes your secret numbers. So the problem with Authenticator is if you're going to put it on a second device or you get a new phone, you have to get a new QR code issued unless you manage to save it. And then you have to change everything all at once. So I like Authy because it just remembers your secret number. You have a password, so it's encrypted. It stores it on the Authy servers. So when you sign up, when you install Authy on a new device, it automatically knows all your secret codes. In fact, I have Authy on here, so I'll just show you with Authy.
Okay.
But it's very much like Google Authenticator. So the way Authy is working is I have a number of accounts, if you look at the bottom here. In fact, two Google accounts. These are both Gmail accounts. This is my work account. This is my business account, and each will have a different six-digit code. Notice that code expires in 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Every 30 seconds, it rehashes my secret number with the current time of day and gives me a new six-digit code. That's the same code you'll get text messaged, by the way. Google can generate these. Anybody can, because the secret number is the same, and it's known to you and Google. This is how Google identifies you, because it says, oh, you're logging into your Gmail account. I know your secret number. I know what time it is. If you have the authenticator, you'll know that the authentication code is 757871. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And this is something you have because it's not your password. It's actually very similar to a password. But the idea is if you don't have my cell phone with my authenticator on it, you won't be able to get that six-digit number. I'm using it on LastPass. I'm using it on Gmail. In fact, I have two LastPass accounts. We have our corporate account and we have my personal account. Microsoft uses it for Microsoft login. Tumblr uses it. Slack uses it. WordPress uses it. This is Acquia, our hosting company. This is a password program called Keeper. It uses it. Amazon has turned that on. Please turn it on your Amazon account. You don't want people buying stuff from your Amazon account, do you? Coding is another site, Snapchat. So all of these are using Authy or Google Authenticator would work fine to generate a six-digit code based on a secret number that's known to me and the site only, hashed with the current time of day.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
I'm doing it right
and
now.
And so the reason you can use it with multiple Gmail accounts is because each account has its own secret number associated with it. Now, when you set up two-factor, Google's going to display a page with a QR code. Underneath it will be that long number. You could write it down, I guess. What I always do, here's the secret I do with Google Authenticator, is when I see that QR code, I screenshot it. And I put it in LastPass. Put it somewhere safe because that's the secret number. You don't want that to get out. Because if somebody knows your secret number, they can figure out your six-digit authentication code. That's easy. So you take that secret number, you put it in LastPass, and now anytime you need to set up Google Authenticator, you open up that image, that QR code. Use Authenticator has a camera built into it. It'll take a picture of the code. Now it knows your secret number, and it can generate your six-digit authorization code every 30 seconds. Does that make sense? Now, if you're doing it with a text message, it's the same thing. Google's generating the code, not you. And it just sends it to you. And the idea is, well, if they didn't have your smartphone, no, the bad guy wouldn't know what that code, that six-digit number is. I like that. I personally prefer the SMS because in theory that you're not sharing that magic number. And that magic number is kind of like a password, frankly. And if it gets out, then they know what your authenticator code is.
But everybody doesn't offer that. Google offers that for Gmail, but everybody does.
Well, you just saw a bunch of people to do. Evernote does it. Slack does it.
But if
Twitter
they don't offer it, you can't use Authy with...
The way Twitter does it is they don't do a Google Authenticator. They will only send you a text message, or you can authenticate in a previously authenticated Twitter app.
Okay. I just signed up for Authy.
Authy's worth it because then all your authentication codes are preserved and you get a new... See, I have to do it. I get new devices all the time,
yeah.
Right? So when I get a new device, the first thing I do, I put LastPass on it and I put Authy on it, and that'll let me sign in then to everything else on that new device.
All right. I feel more secure already.
Turn it on. It's not perfect. There is no such thing as perfect security, but you want to give as many speed bumps as possible to a bad guy. And frankly, second factor authentication is a pretty serious hurdle. There's lots of attacks involving, somebody calling customer service. You saw that Kevin Roos piece.
Yeah, I talked to Kevin about that.
So he asked people to hack him, and the social engineering team, a woman called his cell phone company, pretending to be his wife. He's not even married. And they played a recording from YouTube of a baby crying in the background. And she said, my husband's on a road trip, and I just need to get into his cell phone account because there's some information there. I need to get a loan, and he's not going to be back. And if I don't get it, I'm in trouble. Can you please help me? And what is a customer service representative there for? Customer service. So it's, oh, you poor person. Well, let me just log you in. Had he had two-factor, mm-hmm. The customer service rep would said, now just use your authenticator, because she doesn't know the magic number, one hopes.
Right. Well, that was the other thing she said. She said, well, I don't think I can get a text message. And the person passed.
Yeah, they shouldn't do that. That's not real customer service, is it?
Well, that answered my question and
did
his
it?
Question.
Or is it really an over-answer?
My head hurts less.
It's
hopefully
so important.
Your head hurts less,
yeah,
too.
You really need to turn it on. It's a simple, easy thing to do, a little bit more inconvenience, but a lot more security.
All right. David asks, I am having some health issues and realize the iPhone and health app may be able to provide some valuable tracking data to share with doctors and allow me to track and improve my situation.
Good.
How can someone really update nutrition data? Is there an app to log food intake that will break down the data and record the sugar or calcium intake? So he's talking about the health app, which doesn't, it has nutrition data, but it doesn't pull it out. But
understand that the health app doesn't do anything.
It just
combines data from a variety of sources. So if you had a glucose meter, you could enter in your glucose level. If you had, a scale, I have a Withings scale, right? And my weight automatically gets into the Apple Health app. It's just a database of your health information. It has to have other sensors.
So MyFitnessPal is an app that we both use that will let you record food, and it does pull the sugar out of it if it's a food that it knows already. Or you can enter
it. It has
sugar.
A very big database.
It does.
So,
it has like Petaluma Market on there.
Yeah.
Stuff from there.
It's probably because I've been entering that in over the years. MyFitnessPal is now owned by Under Armour. They've been buying up all of these fitness apps. So you do have to manually log. You have breakfast, and I do this every morning. By the way, you can memorize your breakfast. So if you always have, as I do, a cup of oatmeal, once you enter that once, you can say that's a favorite. And then I have a cup of espresso, and I have a little soy milk, and I have a half cup of berries. So that you enter that in, but then it gives you all the nutrition information because it knows, oh, wild blueberries. Well, that's about 3 grams of sugar. Oh, the oatmeal. What kind of oatmeal? Are you having rolled oats, Scottish steel-cut oats? What are you eating? And so it knows, and it has a very, very – the reason I use it, it's the best database.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good database.
Yeah.
Of both packaged foods and foods you make yourself. It's easier with packaged because you can scan the barcode.
Right.
But I don't eat a lot of packaged meals, and I bet you don't. If you're working on your health, that's what you get off of, is those packaged meals. You start eating healthy foods.
So that MyFitnessPal is free. It doesn't
love it.
There is a paid version, but it does what you're asking in particular does for free.
Yeah, I paid for it, but you don't get a whole lot. I just wanted to support them. It's really, really great. There's nothing I know of that will. There have been attempts to do this, like take a picture of your food, yeah. And the one that does that has actual nutritionists mm-hmm. at the other end. So, you know,
looking
at it and going, well, they're doing the data entry for you. So there's nothing that will automate that. I wish there were like a fork that could say. I do have a scale at home.
A
food scale that you weigh, and it does nutritional information. But it's laborious because you have to look up the food you're weighing, enter in the code, and then it will have the nutrition information on the front. I don't use it very much.
Well, just writing down your food sometimes is the biggest hurdle because you think, oh, I'm not going to eat that because then I have to write it down.
That's my experience. It's not so important that you get all the numbers right. It's just logging is the important
thing. Yeah,
that
you're being mindful about it. He also has an iPhone 5 that says it won't track his steps. So I guess that started in the 5S.
Yeah, and a lot of phones will do it now because they have accelerometers built in. The older ones won't, but that's why people get fitness bands. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get an Apple Watch. Fitbit is a great choice. They have a huge variety of different devices you either clip on or you wear on your wrist, you put in your bra, then it will automatically use Bluetooth to talk to your phone, and your phone will log that into the Fitbit app, which then will tie into the Apple Health app. So mm-hmm. get a Fitbit. There are a lot of other Jawbone, and a lot of other companies make these devices. I had one for a while that I really like. You kind of have to figure out what one works best for you. Mm-hmm. Steps is easy. Things like heart rate, that requires a wristband. Fitbit does have some of those. Those are more expensive. Of course, an Apple Watch will do all of that stuff, including steps. There's just a lot of different devices. Pick one that fits your budget and your needs.
The frustration that I have with the Apple Watch and MyFitnessPal is that if it'll track your steps in MyFitnessPal and then you get more calories, you have like a certain amount of calories
right.
you don't want to exceed. But if you exercise, you have more calories, so therefore you can eat more, but it records your steps. But if you're doing a workout that just involves calories through a heart rate, it doesn't register that. It's like I'll do yoga and it says I've burned 500 calories through 90 minutes of hot yoga.
That's about right.
But then it won't record it. I don't get those extra calories for my fitness pack.
Yeah, this is actually the dirty little secret of most fitness trackers is they're great with walking and running. Mm-hmm. They're less good with other kinds of activities. I have a Fitbit, the latest Fitbit Blaze, which is watch style. I had a Surge before that. And what you do is you say you're doing a certain activity, and it will monitor it. It's great with walking and running, but rowing... not so good because all it can do is measure heart rate. There's no steps, so what is it going to measure? Same spin class, same thing. But what they try to do is say, well, you're this age, you're this weight, your heart rate is this. We're going to estimate based on your heart rate this how many calories you used. And again, it's not about getting it exactly right. It's about motivating and paying attention and being mindful. And I've found that that's been a huge. I've lost 30 pounds, and it's just been by doing those two things: tracking my diet. And tracking my exercise. Mm-hmm. Whether they're accurate is less important.
So, yeah, David, keep at it.
Yeah. You know what? You can change everything. You really can. My doctor wants me to be on all these medications, and I'm on some for blood pressure and for blood sugar. He wants me now to be on a statin to avoid heart attack and stroke. And I said, doctor, I've changed my lifestyle. I've lost weight. I'm much more fit. I've seen my resting heart rate go down. Please, please don't put me on those bad medications. If I could just get my blood work to be better and show progress. And he said, that's fine. Go in. We're going to do the blood work. And if you show enough progress, you don't have to go on the meds, but you got to continue to show progress. And you can, I think you can get off the meds if you really take care of yourself. But consult your physician, obviously. Don't say, oh, Leo said I have to take my meds. It's okay.
All right, I got one more email. This is from Shamala from Singapore. She asks, may I have some recommendations for educational apps for children of the ages 5 through 9 years, as well as 2 to 3 years. So the 5 to 9 years, the 5 to 9 years I got down. Now, Khan Academy is the one I always recommend because it's just got so many different things in it that kids can do. And a lot of schools incorporate it, so there are lessons involved there. And you can keep track. Parents can keep track, which is really nice. Another one is Tiny Bop. We've shown a few of those apps, the Robot Factory. And they have weather, they have Simple Machines apps. Those are great for the 5 to 9 year old.
It's almost an infinite variety of choices. I mean,
But this is one that I highly recommend. It's not free. They're not, each of the apps I think are like $2.99. But I've played with these ones, I've watched kids play with them, and I highly recommend them. I think they're pretty highly rated in the App Store as well. We have one on the Apple TV. If your child is using, is learning fractions, this is one I thought, oh, well, this is cool. Like they can, you know, you can be on the TV. So let's find our apps.
The app. You're actually in the store right now, so just press the home button and exit the store. There you go.
Okay, there's the app store. Oh, the purchased. That's where we want to be.
Oh, okay.
That's how I find my, I guess I can.
Is that how you find your apps? You must have a lot of apps.
I do. So this
now
is
you have
called,
to hit the open button. All right, good.
Oh no,
functions on TV.
Fractions on TV. Should we race
let's the just a fraction, see if I know
do
my
you
fractions.
Explore and compare or race the fraction
clock? I'll race the fraction clock. I'm an aggressive competitive type.
So go.
5/6 is less than 6/9.
Oopsie daisy.
Oh God. This is gonna be hard, isn't it?
Oh, it's look to err is human.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. I get one shot.
Let's try again.
Is 1/2 equal to? It's equal to 1/2, right? I got
correct.
One right. Yay. Now, is it going to let me play some more? 7/8 is more than, greater than 2/6.
Correct.
I feel my blood pressure going up.
What do you think?
1/2 is greater than.
Really?
No, less than.
Yeah, less than.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your help there. I'm starting to get this now. Six is less than 6/6. Oh man,
so
I know my.
This is fun.
You know what? This is
play,
fun. I can
yeah,
see
to play
you
on TV, and you might use a controller.
I'm getting better fractions already.
Yeah.
That is greater than. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
oopsie-daisy.
Crap! I thought I was getting
fractions
better.
Fractions are hard. So no fractions. And
that's
if you have
fun.
An Apple TV, I highly recommend that.
There's also an Explorer. You don't have to do the, you know, the race thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something you could do together. The nice thing about doing it on TV. Is you as the parent are doing it with your kid playing along. And we used to call that lapware, where the child's in your lap. And I think that's a better experience with younger kids. But I have to say, not all educational software looks like educational software. We were talking yesterday, Becky Worley won't let her kids do any computer stuff at all, right?
In emergency situations, she does, but she says
yeah, it has to be an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And she especially eschews Minecraft. And because she thinks Minecraft is like Farmville or We Rule or Simpsons Tapped Out. It's one of those addictive, gamified things, not an educational thing. And I really believe Minecraft is actually very educational. And you learn a lot in Minecraft. And so kids aren't wasting their time in Minecraft. But it's not immediately apparent. And it sure doesn't look like an educational game any more than Legos looks like an educational toy. But I think it is.
Yeah. Well, I think she just wants more time limits.
Oh, no. She can do anything she wants. I told her that. I said, every child is different. Nobody knows your child better than you do.
Right.
And I am not making any recommendation at all. But I am pointing out for any parent watching that sometimes it's not the most educational games are not the ones that are quote, educational.
Yes.
And I think Minecraft is really an interest. I think there's a lot of learning going
on
in Minecraft.
I definitely agree with that, for sure. And so, yeah, not for the 2 to 3 year old, but for the 5 to 9 year olds, yeah, Minecraft Pocket Edition is great.
2 to 3 year olds a little tougher, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, so I asked on Twitter, and I got lots of feedback.
Oh, good.
Tariq and Aziz recommended Toca Boca. Which
oh, the Toca games are great. I love all the Toca stuff.
So, yeah, they have restaurants
and those are for
styles,
a variety of ages,
yeah, so,
but little kids love Toca. Yeah.
And he also recommended Endless Alphabet.
T-O-C-A.
T-O-C-A-B-O-C-A. We can put all these links on our website. He recommended Endless Alphabet.
That's for learning the alphabet.
Yes. And that one looks like it's $6.99.
You know what? I really wish we had something like this when my kids were little for learning their times tables. I know that's a little bit older, but boy, that would have been a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. And Scott Carmichael recommends Tozzle, an app called Tozzle, which is toddler's favorite puzzle.
Oh, yeah, you tap things and the cow goes moo. And oh, fun. And it's almost like a busy box.
Yeah. Darren James recommends Pocket Phonics Lite, which I never...
That
I
sounds hardcore.
Yeah. And Dan Kutka recommends ABC Mouse, which is a bunch of different apps.
So we have, if you go to twit.tv/iOS, we have show notes for every show, and we'll put
all of those
links
in.
to all of those.
And thank you for anyone. And if you go to Twitter, I'm at Megan Maroney, and I tweeted this yesterday, and hopefully even some more people
have added to that list. Really great tool for getting feedback. So thank you.
Yeah, because not only do I not have 2 to 3 year olds, there weren't iPads when I did have 2 to 3 year olds.
I know.
So, yeah, thank you. And, you know, some of those apps that we showed in the beginning, the swords would be good for a 5 to 9 year old. Not necessarily educational, but
learning Chinese calligraphy. Wow.
And
I bet they'd be better at it than I was.
And those open-ended games, too, yeah. I think are good at teaching kids patience and creativity.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes one of the things you're teaching them just is how to use computers and how to be comfortable with technology. And for kids growing up today, I think that's a skill they need.
So send your questions to iOS Today at twit.tv or to Megan at twit.tv. You can also call us 757-504-iPad. That's 757-504-4723. We won't answer the phone. Keep it short. If you want to send a video, too, that would be great. We'd love to play videos of questions as well.
We do. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to do our app caps in just a bit, so
yes,
get your hats ready.
Yes.
But first, let me talk about PillPack. I was talking about medication. You know, if you're on medications, even just vitamins, it's a real pain at the end of the week to put them all in that little pill minder, right? You don't do that? Well, how do you even remember what to take or when, whether you took it? I forget every morning. I go, did I? That's where PillPack is so awesome. This is an online pharmacy that delivers your medication to you in a unique package. This is the PillPack. And these are packed by robots. And very smart image recognition robots. But don't worry, they're fully checked, each and every packet, by a licensed pharmacist as well. It's a true pharmacy. In fact, one of the things I love about PillPack is you can call and talk to a pharmacist 24/7. There's always somebody there for advice, for instructions. It really is great. They'll work with your doctor and your insurance. Yes, it works with most kinds of insurance. So you don't pay anything extra for this. The shipping's free, everything. And what you're going to get is this box. Now, if you're doing inhalers or ointments or something, they come too in the shipping. But for pills, this is awesome. Look, see the robot put a label on the back here of all the medications. This is your name, your date that these are for. Pictures of each pill, and that's actually really helpful. You know, I'll look at a pill and go, what is that? It's C37. I don't know what that is, but this will tell you the dosage, who prescribed it, and what the dosing directions were from your doctor. And then they packaged in little individual pill pack packages. So if it's, you know, it's 8 in the morning, these are the 3 pills I take at 8 in the morning. It has the day, the date, the time. You tear it off. You take your medication. By the way, this is not childproof, but I think for a lot of us, I don't want childproof because I don't have any children around, and I don't want to have a bottle that's harder for me to open than a 4-year-old. So this is great. These are easy open. If you travel a lot, you just take the packs for the days you're going to be gone, and there you're set. And you never have to ask the question, did I take my medication this morning? Did I take my vitamins this morning? You'll always know. There's the pharmacist packing the pill pack. Here's the deal. We're going to get you $20 off, actually a coupon for $20 in vitamins and over-the-counter medications when you transfer your medication prescriptions to PillPack. But you have to go to PillPack.com/twit to sign up on their secure site. PillPack's pharmacists, as I said, are always there so they can help you. And they will work with your doctor and your insurance company. It is compatible with most insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. There is no extra cost for this super convenience. By the way, refills are great, too. They work with your doctor, so the refills come automatically, which is super, super nice. Try out their referral program. When you refer somebody to PillPack, they'll donate $100 to RX Art, which is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to help children heal through the extraordinary power of visual art. They even have a medication reminder app for the iPhone and the Apple Watch. It's such a great idea. I want you to try it. PillPack.com/twit. And if you have elders in your family, maybe your parents, and, you know, Mom, did you take your meds this morning? Oh, I think so. Do this for them. They would love this. PillPack.com/twit. You can bet I use it as my doctor puts me in more and more meds. I'm looking forward to having that pill pack get smaller as I get more healthy. PillPack.com/twit. Try it today. Well, look at only you can prevent iOS boredom. It's app cap time. Megan is a tiger. I'm a Smokey the Mountie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wearing these funny hats for one reason only.
One reason.
We love hats.
We do. We love hats. So this is the app cap section of the program.
We pick a great app.
Our favorite apps.
Yeah.
We wear caps. This one's really appropriate.
I love that. Where did that come from? I don't know.
My app is called Fetch. It's for Microsoft Garage. Did you see this? It came out a couple of weeks ago.
They're doing some really neat stuff.
So it will tell you what breed of dog your dog is if you have a picture, or it will tell you what you are. So let me
What breed are you, Miss Tiger? Are you doing a picture of me?
I already took a picture. Let's see what breed you are. Okay, so there we go. Can you see that?
What is it going to say? You think Doberman?
Ready? Use photo.
Yeah.
Move and zoom to frame your dog.
Frame your dog. Wait a minute. It does it for... It's not for humans.
We'll see. Let's
see. Here's the little Bony Maroney. I'm a Boberl?
Boberl.
Proactive. Protective
nature.
Damage when jumping. That's true. Sociable and obedient only after training. That's exactly right.
I did it with me, too. Let's see. I put it in my scrapbook. I'm a Karen Terrier.
Oh, you definitely are Karen
Smart,
Terrier.
Smart, sassy, tends to bark.
This is better than astrology.
Yes. So you can also
use... You do bark,
I do. I tend to bark.
That's so
I can
funny.
Find... Let's see if I'll find a photo of my actual
it
dog
It nailed
here.
Me.
It really did. It really... You know what? That part is kind of a joke, obviously.
Yeah.
It's shown me some... Let's try a picture of a cow and see.
It's not going to know what a cow is.
Let's see. Microsoft's pretty smart.
Oh, this is Microsoft.
Yes, it's from Microsoft Garage.
Oh, it's it thinks Bernese that's a Mountain Bernese dog.
It does kind of look like a Bernese
it's pretty
Mountain
close.
Dog.
Okay.
And then I could learn
this
more
is just for
about
fun.
Bernese Mountain Dogs. Well, if you want to...
Where's Ozzy? Should we get Ozzy?
Yeah, get Ozzy out here.
Can somebody get me the dog?
He can't just call Ozzy?
No, Ozzy's... When Ozzy is relaxed...
Let's see. I don't know if I have a picture of Ozzy.
He's not going to walk around. Is there somebody available to pick my dog up and bring it to me? He's sleeping next to Lisa. Nobody wants to wake him up.
We'll do my dog while we're waiting for your dog. There's my dog on the side. Let's see what he
is. What kind of dog do you have? You have a mutt.
I have a mutt. He is part pit bull, part Rottweiler. Not bulldog
not even at close.
All.
Not even close. So this
so
is really
this
just
is out of Microsoft
this
Garage.
This is for amusement.
And yeah, you know, once I did a picture and it did guess what kind of dog it was. But I think there's some interesting things coming out of the Microsoft Garage.
What do you call a dog that doesn't come when you call it? A cat. Wait a minute, Burke is bringing us Ozzy.
Okay,
would you bring
good.
Us Ozzy, Burke? Thank you, Burke. Burke is the besides Lisa. Burke is the only. Person who can handle Ozzy. Ozzy gets really cranky. Okay, let's take a picture of Ozzy.
Oh, that's a good one. All right,
oh, that's a good picture of Ozzy. Let's see if it can figure out. Ozzy is a breed, actually. Ozzy is purebred, yeah.
Okay, there we go. Use the photo.
Uh-huh.
I think they're going to get it. Should we squeeze in so they don't accidentally
don't think
mistake
it's Burke.
Burke? The tongue.
Look at the tongue.
That's a pretty good photo. I think they're going to get it.
Ozzy
I think
is it's gonna get a papillon.
Pomeranian.
I'm sorry, Ozzy.
It's the tongue.
He was raised with Pomeranians. Maybe that's why they're confused.
So
it's only a 60% match, though.
Fun,
so they know they didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's
that's the other pop is possibilities.
Yeah, 37% Papillon.
Yeah, or Havanese or Chinese.
Oh my gosh, the Chinese crested. That's...
Those are beautiful animals.
I wish I could.
Yeah, they pretty much win the ugliest dog contest every year here.
They do. Yeah. Okay, so Fetch is free as it should be. And if you want to learn more about dog breeds, it's good. Yeah,
and kids who like dogs would love that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's
it'd
fun.
Be fun, yeah.
And, you know, Microsoft Garage, that's the same people who have been doing that. Like, am I a twin or not?
Right.
Or, like, how old am I?
You know what they really, I think this is the case. I don't think they even deny this. They're gathering data. Mm-hmm. They want you to use these apps because they're trying to gather data about, you know, because they want to get better photo recognition.
Right. And they do a fun thing. And I'll share that. Like, I took a picture of my husband and I, you know, tweeted that out.
And do they ask you, are we right about the dog or no? I guess they don't.
They didn't ask that, I don't think. Yeah.
I would think that would be useful for them to get some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So my app actually comes from the chat room. I was asking before the show, what would be a great app? And somebody said, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Oh, you're going to love Universal Zoom. This isn't free. It's $3.99. But this is an educational app. And in fact, I think everybody would have fun with this, including younger kids, because it's all about scale and sizes. Oh. Okay? So we can go and zoom in on the porcupine. There's the meerkat. There's the world's largest egg. See, compare that to a spiny seahorse. They're similar size. We can go down in scale. There's a penny. Human embryo is a little bit bigger than a penny. Honeybee. Wait a minute, we're getting smaller. There's a flea, the best jumper in the world. Whoa! And here's a Taya margarita namibiensis.
Bacteria.
It's a giant bacteria. There's an eight-day-old embryo. There's a human hair.
Wow.
Don't you think kids would love this? That's your artery with blood cells under an electron microscope. We're down to 200 microns now. Wait a minute. What's that? The world's smallest snowman, 25
what?
Micrometers.
Smaller than an embryo?
There's an erythrocyte, which is something. A red blood cell, E. coli. So that's going down. Well, we can go the other direction, too, you know. We're way down here. Actually, we can go a lot smaller, by the way. It goes all the way down to atomic particles and supercoiled DNA and a boy and his atom. That's the world's smallest movie. You know, they made that with the little atoms and a microscope.
That is awesome. I love this app.
Now, we can go the other way, right? So let's jump up to human size and then go the other direction. Well, there's the world's biggest bird. There's a mammal. There's a Tesla. Whoa, wait a minute. What's coming in here? The biggest commercial airplane, the A380 Airbus. Wow. Oh, look at the space shuttle, the Tower of Pisa. General Sherman Sequoia. That gives you an idea of how big that Sequoia is. Almost as big as the Statue of Liberty. But wait a minute. What's coming in here on the left? That's the world's tallest building. Wow, at least the one in the Western Hemisphere, the Eiffel Tower. See, it's not nearly as big. There's the CN Tower. That's the tallest structure in the Western Hemisphere. I've been in there. That's a tall puppy, but it's not nearly as big as the Burj Khalifa, which is the world's tallest building. That's in Dubai, where they made the lid for Steve Jobs' theater. Here's a comet. That's the one that the Philylander landed on, right? Remember that? Mont Blanc, the largest mountain in Europe. Mount Everest, the largest mountain in the world. A neutron star. Mars's moons. Phobos. Cleopatra, which is an asteroid. There's this moon of Saturn. There's Vesta. Here's Ceres. Charon. Titania. Pluto. Now you know why they call it a dwarf planet. It's smaller than the Neptune moon Triton. Europa. There's our moon right there, right? Callisto. Oh, now we're getting into orbits here. This is thousands and thousands, 30,000 miles. There's Neptune. There's Saturn, Jupiter. Whoa, what's that big thing? That's the sun. Now here's Proxima Centauri. That's the nearest star to the sun. And Sirius. And you see we're getting bigger and bigger. This is so cool. I mean, it doesn't do much. $3.99 is a little expensive for something that's just cool.
It blew my mind.
But it is really, really neat. And see, I think kids would love this.
Yeah.
Just playing with it, right?
Yeah, I think that is amazing. Just
there's
to
a
show
light
us
day.
Where we about
yeah.
our
where
place
do we
in the
fit?
World.
Where do we fit in this world? There's a galaxy.
I love that, because you can't do that cloud. With a book.
No, and this is where something like an iPad is or an iPhone is a really great teaching tool, because it's so interactive. And friendly. There's the
Universal
Milky Way.
Universal Zoom.
There's our galaxy. Universal Zoom. $3.99, which I think, given how little this does, is kind of pricey. You can we have a narration voice. I guess we turned that off, but it'll talk.
Well, a lot of times the educational apps that, like, you can imagine a school investing in that.
Yeah,
you know,
$3.99 is not that much.
Yeah.
And because they have a little, you know, the taxonomy here, you can kind of get an idea of where you are. Let's go down to the smallest things. The smallest unit of length is billionths of a yachtometer.
Whoa, a yachtometer.
A yachtometer. That's a small. That's a plank length. And I know I'm not talking a wooden plank. There's not much down there. Let's get bigger. Now we're in billionths of a yoctometer. 100 billion yoctometers. Billionths. 1 millionth of a yoctometer. Still nothing down here. Come on! I'm getting lonely down here in the lowest end of the scale. Something must be down here. Wait a minute. There's an electron and a positron. Wow, there's not much at this scale. I think there's a Higgs boson in there somewhere. Wow. And if you get all the way to the end of the giant scale here, just the really biggest, you can see Apple's profit margin. It's right over here. I don't actually, it's off the scale. There you go, ladies
awesome.
And gentlemen.
Well, I'm busy with my sword battling now.
That is a cool program.
Yeah, we never got to this part. See.
Oh, so now you are fighting. Yes, this is not calligraphy
now
anymore.
Now I'm Fruit Ninja, but better.
But
I'm using my calligraphy that I learned, too.
Wonder if you'd be good at this if you were a Chinese calligrapher.
I don't know. I'm pretty good at it. I got dead.
Somebody said the smallest thing on the universal zoom scale is Windows Mobile market share.
Good.
<don't>... Hey, that was fun. I hope you had a good time on the show today.
I did. Oh, you were talking to them. I
was hoping the audience
did.
We always
do it for you, but
we always have fun.
Yeah.
We do it when Mondays,
mm-hmm,
right after a triangulation, about 1:30, 2 o'clock Pacific time. That'd be 3:30, 4 o'clock Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Pacific time, about 2130 to 2200.
And you can watch it whenever you want. You can just download it.
You can. Actually, I don't even know why I tell you the time. Because I like you to watch live,
right.
Then we can see in the chat.
Usually by Monday evening, then you can watch it again and again for the rest of your life.
On demand.
And learn something new every time.
Twit.tv/iOS or in your favorite podcatcher.
Mm-hmm.
Megan is going to go to work now and do an actual show, which we call Tech News Today, and with Jason Howell. The news show is coming up at about 4 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, is that now?
Well, no hows between now and then.
Okay, good.
So, but I'll let you get to work.
Okay, thank you.
I just signed the lease for our new building. Now I have to get to work figuring out what the hell we're going to do with it. We got our construction meeting is next.
Oh.
Yeah, we're starting to plan the new studio. But you like these chairs. You decided we want to sit here now.
Sure, wherever. As long as you let me do the show, I'll do it standing, sitting, wherever.
We're thinking of putting them maybe on legs, so a little higher. But I don't mind. I like these chairs.
Mm-hmm.
They cost us a lot of money.
Well, then we should keep them.
That's what I say. We got 4 of them. We're going to auction off the rest for charity.
Sounds good.
No, we're not. We're keeping it. Charity is my house. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.